The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Despite the stock markets hitting record highs this year, some investors have turned cautious on equities. In fact, both our securities have warned that a correction is likely in the near term. Analysis of past bull and bear phases of Indian stock markets show after a rally of about 75 weeks with an average 106% return, markets typically correct about 30% over a four-month period. Considering that the current rally in Indian equities yielded 118% returns over 73 weeks, BofA Securities sees limited further runway in light of emerging risks in near term. So, I'm in conversation with Amish Shah, India equity strategist, BofA Securities, to understand what are the big concerns. Hi Amish, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you, Nafin.
So Amish, amidst all the optimism that's there in the stock markets in India at least, you released a report last week about, with some warnings, and you see the stock markets actually correcting from here on. So what leads to this kind of, if I can say, a warning signal that you have released?
Absolutely. So look, markets have done very well so far last year and YTD this year. If you look at the flows, FII flows particularly, last year India within the emerging markets got a record $23 billion of inflows. This calendar year so far, we've got another prior to July when we started seeing outflows. And on the back of that, if you look at market valuations, we believe they have now got too pricey. Nifty particularly is now trading at 19.5 times 2-year forward earnings, which is around 8% premium to a 2 standard deviation plus. That got us a little worried. We've come up with some bottom-up reasons why we are concerned near-term from a valuation perspective. And that makes us a little cautious on the markets right now. But we can get into some details as we go along.
You see the markets, especially the Nifty, falling around 9%. Is there any particular reason or what are the triggers, according to you, that could maybe trigger a sell-off?
Yeah. So first, I would say retail activity recently has been quite a lot. So if I were to give you a couple of numbers, long-term retail as a percentage of total market volumes has been about 46%. There are only two times where we've seen the number spike above 60. Once it was post GFC, retail volumes went up to about 65% of the total market volumes. Right now, over the last 18 months, again, the average number has been 64. And very recently, retail had gone to 80%+ of total volumes. So all of that, we think, is now coming under pressure, especially given the muted IPO listing recently. We think that the levered retail positions are likely to be under stress, and they are likely to pull out as well. And that is bigger risk for the mid and the small cap stocks in comparison to the large caps. But that is one of our key concerns. Second, valuations we spoke about already. Third, we do feel that consensus earnings are likely to now get downgraded. Actually, we worry about consumer discretionary sector where we think that the demand relative to the expectations is lower, and the ability to take price hikes in the current muted demand environment is not there. On the other hand, commodity prices obviously have shot up, so there could be margin pressures. And then, even the commodity rally, we think, is likely to reverse. And if that happens, specifically earnings for, the metals companies or the energy companies, we think it could be at risk of downgrades as well.
Do you see a fatigue in the retail segment now?
Not yet, I would argue. But, given the listings of IPOs, especially some of the smaller ones, is not very upbeat. You would recollect the days, even in July, where on an average, listings used to be 50 to 100% up stocks on the day one of listing itself. Versus that, if you compare it in August, the numbers have now come down to like early double digits kind of gains. That, I think, is much lower than expectations that retail investors had. And as you know, a large part of this retail is on the back of levered funding. So if the listings are muted, it doesn't cover up necessarily for the cost of funding cost of the borrowed funds particularly. And that could be one of the reasons why the oversubscriptions that you spoke about, or the magnitude of the oversubscriptions that you spoke about, I do believe there's a reason to believe why that may come down near term.
What do you think about the domestic institutional flow? Well, do you think that will continue?
The short answer is yes, Nasreen. We think that the domestic mutual fund industry will continue to get inflows, especially as the retail activity or the retail direct activity into the markets taper down. I think they will find their way into the markets through mutual funds. On the FII side, however, we do think that there may be a transitory pause to the flows. You would recollect that, up until June YTD this year, we had got about $8.5 billion of FII flows, which was the second highest just after Brazil. But since July, we have started seeing outflows from the FII side. In the month of July, we saw about $1.5 billion of outflow. In the month of August so far, it has been about an outflow of about $800 million additional. So FIIs, I think, may start pulling money out near term on the back of the taper talks, that may lead to U.S. bond yields going up. And the money may gravitate more towards the U.S. bonds, therefore. But on the domestic side, I think domestic mutual funds will continue to get flows, and especially through the SIPs, which, as we saw last month, they got a record inflow of 1.3 billion US.
Okay. So, according to you, what are the key concerns that could lead to the outflow of FI money from Indian equities? This is besides the, Fed tinkering the rates. But besides that, are there any other concern by FIs regarding India?
Not much. They do believe that the economic revival in India is for real. The economy is coming back quite nicely. But as I said earlier, the valuations itself are a concern for India now. We are at all-time high valuations. And especially in the context of, the lofty earnings expectations as well, which if they do get downgraded, and I think there are certain pockets. I spoke about consumer discretionary, energy, materials sectors, where I do think that consensus earnings do have a reasonable scope of being downgraded. So that, I think, will be an additional worry for the market. But the big worry really is about the macro globally.
Okay. But do you think there is a dichotomy? Because on one hand, of course, there is a concern about Fed tinkering the rates, maybe by end of next year or maybe beginning of next year. But also at the same time, the Delta variant of COVID is rising, also leading to lockdowns in various countries. So do you think that one may lead to the other?
No, you're very right. As a matter of fact, the reason why there is not a consensus on whether the taper will happen or not is exactly on the back of the Delta variant spreading quite rapidly in most parts of the world right now. including in the US. So if I were to talk about what my global rate strategists are talking about, so let's say versus the US 10-year bond yields at about 1.25% currently, they believe that either it will swing on the positive and go to 1%, in other words, a bond rally, or they may actually end up to 2%. And obviously, their views are divided on the back of whether the taper is going to come imminently or not. However, you know, my views are more lopsided on the downside near term rather than the upside. So I think the event that the bond yields do go to 2% is higher in comparison to it going to 1%.
If we talk about the valuations and earnings at the moment, see, if you look at the quarterly results, and that is June quarter, sequentially, if we compare, because year to year may not be comparable because there was lockdown last year. But sequentially, if you see the earnings momentum has not continued because of various reasons. Few sectors got great growth and some sectors could not even, they had negative profit and sales overall. Does it worry you when we talk about elevated valuations as far as Indian markets go?
Absolutely. So earnings downgrades is one of the key risks that we are worried about. And to some extent, if you notice over the last three quarters, for one reason or the other, earnings have continued to get upgraded. So let's say in the quarter of September last year, the view was that the festive season may not be as robust. Because we were just coming out of a lockdown quarter after the first wave. Quite surprisingly, the festive last year turned out to be very good. At that point in time, earnings were upgraded and the view was that maybe that was pent-up demand. By the December quarter, the view was that the corporates may not be able to sustain the cost cuts that they did between April to September. But corporates again surprised positively. And not only did they continued with their cost cuts, but they also were very successful in converting a lot of their fixed cost into variable cost. And once again, that there was a reason for earnings to be upgraded. Come the March quarter this year, there was a view that with the massive rally in the commodity prices globally, that will come to hurt margins. While the margins did get hurt, they were not hurt to the magnitude that was being feared. And the reason for that was a lot of old cheap price inventory, both finished goods inventory and the raw material inventory, which was historical inventory of low price, that helped corporates deliver better margins. So far, for one reason or the other, corporate earnings have kept on surprising positively. And on the back of that, consensus earnings have also continuously just kept getting upgraded. YTD this calendar year as well, earnings for FY22 Nifty has got upgraded by 7%. While a large part of that has come on the back of commodity prices rally, we do think that there are two concerns now, that the commodity rally itself is reversing, number one. Number two, the kind of demand that is already built up, going into festive this year, rural demand, etc. All of that, I think, is now quite lofty. And there's a reason why earnings may not actually be in line with what the street is expecting. This time, there may be a disappointment.
But at the same time, there is an expectation that the CapEx cycle is going to see a strong revival led by PSU and then, of course, the private participation. Don't you think that will convert or translate into good earnings?
So, Nasreen, we are very bullish on the CapEx cycle. We are, in fact, calling it as a 2003 moment for India. And why 2003 is important? Because that was the start of the previous CapEx upcycle, which lasted for 9 years. So we think that India is just at the beginning of a new CapEx cycle. So we are very bullish. However, purely again, coming back to our market views from a tactical perspective, if the market's overall correct, so will the industrial stocks or the capex facing stocks. But if you are an investor who can look beyond the 3 to 4 months of the market downside, I do think that this is a sector which one should play on for a good cycle over the next 5 to 7 years going forward. And the reason why I would emphasize on the cycle again is that we've seen in the past that margins, working capital cycle, return ratios, and the capex cycle are all connected. Last time, when the cycle went, when the cycle was positive for 9 years, as I spoke about, the return ratios in the sector went up by threefold to over 30%. Even if the return ratios this time don't go up by threefold on the back of high base, there is a reason to believe that the return ratios may at least double. And even if that happens, I think the sector, which is currently trading at a long-term average valuations, definitely has a large or a lot of scope for valuation re-rating to continue over the years. So we are very bullish on capex cycle long-term. However, if the markets were to correct over the next few months, I think it will pull those stocks down as well.
Okay.
Near term.
Okay. So lastly, one question. Do you think currently Indian markets are in a bubble now and the bull run is going to end soon?
I wouldn't say that, Nasreen. Are the markets expensive? I think yes. Is there a need for some correction for the market momentum to continue long-term or a stable market momentum to continue? I again think yes. Mm-hmm. But I will not say that the market is in a bubble for sure. Because as I said that, the economic activity in India is actually doing quite well. There is a proper policy from the government or a vision from the government to revive the economy on the back of supply stimulus in comparison to the demand stimulus that people were expecting earlier. So I think supply stimulus is going to bring economic benefits more long-term. Demand stimulus may have brought in some benefits short-term, but I think supply stimulus is more sustainable economic recovery, so which is again a positive. We've also seen the reform momentum from the government continuing, and they've come up with a lot of reforms even during COVID. So on the back of all of these, I do think that India as an economy is doing pretty well. Earnings, as I was talking about, yes, we can argue that currently looks a little lofty, but once the earnings are downgraded to meaningful levels, earnings growth momentum in India is likely to continue. And on the back of that, I think we will have a healthy market. All that we are calling for is about a 10% correction to the markets, to just take the fluff away and for markets to be priced rightly. In context of the earnings growth, which is more likely to get delivered.
Okay, Amish. On that note, thanks a lot for speaking to us and sharing your insights. And also thanks a lot for giving your time. We wish you good health. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Nafin.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at @nasreenstory. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.